Woo, kind of frightening. Good morning. Now, that is one really worth seeing, and it's almost a shame to show it here on our setup because it is so well done, so clear. When you see it in 3D or if you can see it in Blu-ray, it's just very, very powerful rendition of Dickens' Christmas Carol. We're talking about a legacy, the kind of legacy that you might leave behind. And obviously, that's a negative example of how it shouldn't be done, right? Well, you want to get your outline out so that you can follow along with this morning's message. Should be there in your program. Do you remember what you were doing 18 years ago today? 18 years ago, November 21st, 1982. Some of you weren't around 18 years ago. Pardon? No, 18 years ago. 92. What did I say? I said 82. I meant 92. I remember what happened that day. I guess I just misspoke on the date. For those of you who were around, unless something extraordinary happened that day, you likely have no recollection of it. But I do. I remember it with crystal clarity. Why? Because 18 years ago, November 21st, 1992, I conducted the funeral service for my dad, John Rehm. I remember that Debbie was nervous for me that I would lose it during the service. But I remember thinking wild horses couldn't drag me away from doing this funeral service. For me, it was a profoundly powerful experience, not just because it was sad, but because I knew I was saluting my dad the best way I knew how. It was important because of the huge impact my dad made on my life. Think of a person who's made a major positive influence on your life. A parent, a teacher, a coach, a good friend. Think of the impact, the difference that that person has made in your life. What if that person had not been around? Think of how different your life might be. You may know many people, but that person will always hold a special place in your life because of the legacy he or she left. And when that person dies, it won't be just another day. You'll remember it. Today is part 24, the final message in our series on the life of Moses, the great man of God, the leader who lived some 3,500 years ago. Moses lived one of the most colorful lives of anyone in history. But in today's study, it's time for his funeral. The Lord instructs Moses to climb to Pisgah Peak on Mount Nebo, which is on the plains of Moab across from Jericho. You see it depicted here on the map. Why? Why does God tell Moses to go there? Well, it's because on that peak, Moses will die all by himself on the mountain. On the foot of the mountain, the nation of Israel will mourn for 30 days over Moses' death. But as for Moses himself, only God, and we're told in the New Testament, an angel will attend his funeral. We're told in Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 6, the Lord buried him in a valley near Beth Peor in Moab. But to this day, no one knows the exact place. Moses left no gravestones, no monument to mark his extraordinary life. But he did leave a godly legacy that altered the course of human history. And today, we learn from Moses' life how we can leave a godly legacy as well. You know, most people leave behind a gravestone. Many people leave a will. Some people leave a big inheritance. Fewer still leave a legacy. And even fewer still leave a godly legacy. Question for you. Are you that sort of person for someone in someone's life? The kind of person who is leaving a godly legacy. That's what we're learning about today. But godly legacies don't just automatically happen when we die. You first have to live a godly legacy before you can leave one. And that's what we're seeing in Moses' life today. It's all wrapped up in our main idea, the one thing that you should remember if you forget everything else that I say. And you'll want to write it down because it goes like this. Live a godly legacy to leave for others. Live one so you can leave one. We're going to look at three steps to living a godly legacy. This is important. We're talking about how to influence your kids, how to influence others around you for the Lord. The first step is to never retire from serving God. How many of you recognize this man? Anybody? Nobody. How about this man? How many recognize this man? All right. Well, guess what? They're one and the same man, just different times in his life. Colonel Harlan Sanders, founder of Kentucky Fried Chicken, KFC, one of the most successful fast food chains in the world. Colonel Sanders became wealthy, and his face, at least his older face, is recognized around the world because of his chicken cooked with the secret recipe of 11 herbs and spices. But it might surprise you to know that Colonel Sanders did not experience success until he was in his retirement age. That's right. When he was 65 years old, Harlan Sanders received his first Social Security check. And he took that check and he spent it on starting up a franchise of fried chicken. And up to that point in his life, Harlan Sanders had tried just about everything else, but had failed. Moses' story is similar, but even far more amazing. Look at what it says in Deuteronomy 34, verse 7. Moses was 120 years old. That's not a misprint. 120 years old when he died, yet his eyesight was clear, and he was as strong as ever. Even more amazing than his great age and his vitality at that age is the fact that his greatest accomplishments happened, get this, between age 80 and 120. Now, how many people have you even heard of whose greatest accomplishments happened after age 80. In our culture, we tend to think that our best years are our young years, when we have our strength, our vitality, our energy, our good health, mental alertness to accomplish great things. And of course, we all have heard the stories of the childhood movie star that can no longer draw at the box office like he or she once did because this person has grown up and has just kind of lost it. Or we see sports heroes who are considered washed up as they climb into their 30s, for crying out loud. But from a biblical point of view, folks, this is upside down. Although there are exceptions, God typically schedules the timeline of your life so that your most productive serving years for Him are toward the end. And so this is good news for all of us, because it means the best is still to come. How so? Why would that be? Well, because, folks, if you're living for God, He is constantly building into your life. He's growing you. He's developing you. He's sanctifying you. He's prepping you for not only eternity, but for His service. And you get stronger as you go along. You get stronger in the Lord, maybe not bodily, but spiritually. And that's the greatest power of all. Notice Moses' life. We have a little comparison chart here. At ages 1 through 40, Moses' station in life was that he was raised and educated in Pharaoh's court. You remember this. We studied this several months ago. His status then, since he was in the royal palace, was high. And God's overall purpose in this seems to have been formal training. Moses learned his ABCs and learned all the wisdom of the Egyptians. That would come in handy for him later in his life. Ages 40 through 80, Moses was living in exile. He had run away and was a lowly shepherd in the wilderness. His status then was low, and the purpose seems to have been informal training. God was training him for his great mission in life all this time, although Moses didn't know it. And then finally, ages 80 through 120, that's when Moses really was shining bright. He was Israel's greatest leader and lawgiver. That was his station in life. His status was the highest status yet, and the purpose was his primary ministry in his life that we still read about to this day. That's the life of Moses. And we see that in each part of Moses' life, it contributed to his legacy. But his main purpose obviously came at the end. And from this, we see a legacy principle of how God builds into our lives. The same is true. The same kind of principle can be observed in Jesus' human life. Ages 1 through 30, Jesus was an obscure carpenter in Nazareth. That was his station in life. His status was low. He wasn't regarded as anything special during the first 30 years of his life. His purpose, was his growth and development. We're told that he grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man during those years. Ages 30 through 33, that's when Jesus had his public ministry. He was a rabbi, an exorcist, and a miracle worker. And his status, well, it was very high in the eyes of some, and it was very low in the eyes of others. Some people thought he was crazy. Some people thought he was demon-possessed. And the purpose that God had in his life at that point was to reveal God to man. Then at age 33, approximately, Jesus was, his station in life was an executed criminal on Good Friday. And his status then was the lowest of all. The purpose was to die for the sins of the world. it would seem as though his whole life had come crashing down in a disaster at the end. But then, ages 33 plus, he's the resurrected and ascended Lord, and his status is exalted. And the purpose here is to be Savior, King, and Judge. Perhaps you're a discouraged young person, thinking that things aren't moving quickly enough in your life. Maybe you're a discouraged middle-aged person, thinking you've missed your best years. Or perhaps you're a discouraged older person, thinking that life is over for you. But that's wrong. Think of Moses. Think of Jesus. Think of Colonel Sanders, for crying out loud. The best, if you're in God's service, is still ahead for you. How about some practical tips about how to finish well? First is to prioritize God as number one every day of your life. That means that you devote yourself to holy living for Him, that you're in prayer, that you're in the Word of God, the Bible, that you're in ministry, and that you're sharing your faith. That's what it looks like to prioritize God every day in your life. Secondly, regard every day and every experience as training from God. Moses never realized that those events earlier in his life were training him and preparing him for the great contribution he would make. Next, take good care of your health. Take good care of your health. You know, what a pity it would be to grow older and wiser, have all this wisdom, all this great experience from God, but not be able to use that wisdom to the full because you abused your body earlier in your life. And you're limited, maybe more than is God's intent for you because of that abuse. Overeating, or, you know, just putting bad substances into your life, not getting enough exercise. Those are important things. Next, never give up. Never give up serving God and His people. As long as God has you here, serve. Never think in terms, you might think in terms of retiring from your job, your employment, but never think in terms of retiring from the service of God. I thank God for people like Art and Dixie Javery, who are serving God with great and full vigor, even though they're older than I am. And I think of Art, who's in his 70s, and he's out there with He's hunting this week, but he's in June. This guy is out there with the young counselors at the camp with the kids, and he's just given his heart, and he sees himself as serving God, even though he's up there in years. He never retires from God's service. Finally, live knowing that the best is still ahead. And I don't care how old you are, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, this is true. This is true for you. If you were to make a chart of your life, would you see each stage as God's training for you? You should. He's training you. He's developing you. Do you have that sense that God is preparing you for the next step? Never retire from serving God. Let's look at the second step to living a godly legacy, and that is pour your best into others. Moses became one of the most influential persons in human history. No one else was really quite like him. In the Bible, his legacy is unique, second only to Jesus Christ. God used Moses in an extraordinary way. The Ten Commandments, the Mosaic Law, not only influenced Jesus and the apostles and, of course, Christianity and Western civilization, but folks, also the substructure of our Constitution and our whole legal system here in the United States of America. On the east side of the Supreme Court building in Washington, D.C., you will see Moses depicted, as you see him right here, holding the Ten Commandments. And he's at the highest point, the central point of the pediment there, showing that his influence is forever there in our legal system. Moses' influence on world history is staggering. And yet Moses' life shows us how we can influence others. God gave Moses many things. But you know something? God never really gave Moses something that, or almost never, that Moses didn't give away to somebody else. Moses was always giving away what God had given to him. God gave Moses the Ten Commandments on stone tablets. Moses came down the mountain and gave those to Israel. God gave Moses the law. Moses turned around and gave that to the Israelites. God gave Moses the plans for the tabernacle. Moses came down and gave them to the Israelites. God gave Moses the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, to enable Moses to do extraordinary things. And even this, folks, Moses passed on to other people. Of course, God did it through him. Look at Numbers chapter 11, beginning at verse 16. At a particularly low point in Moses' ministry, when he was tired out, God says to Moses, "Gather before me 70 men who are recognized as elders and leaders of Israel. Bring them to the tabernacle to stand there with you. I will come down and talk to you there." Help me out on the yellow print. "I will take some of the spirit that is upon you, and I will put the spirit upon them also. They will bear the burden of the people along with you, so you will not have to carry it alone." The legacy principle, what God gives to you, he wants you to pass on to others. As Moses was nearing his death, he saw the need to appoint a new leader. And look what we find written in Numbers chapter 27, beginning at verse 15. "Then Moses said to the Lord, 'O Lord, you are the God who gives breath to all creatures. Please appoint a new man as leader for the community.' The Lord replied, 'Take Joshua, son of Nun.'" Here's a guy that had no father. He was the son of Nun. "Who has the spirit in him, and lay your hands on him, present him to Eleazar the priest before the whole community and publicly commission him to lead the people." Look at this next part. We'll read it together. "Transfer some of the authority to him so the whole community of Israel will obey him." Moses ends up passing down the authority that God had given to him. Now, of course, Moses was a great leader. But you don't have to part the Red Sea to leave a godly legacy. You just need to put Christ first in your life and then pour into others what he has poured into you. What is it that God has given you that you can pass on to others? Your skills, your abilities, your knowledge, your qualities, the qualities that are unique to you. Maybe you're great with music, or painting, or cooking, or caring for children. Whatever it is, dedicate that talent, that skill to the Lord and to his purposes and his glory, and then look for someone or a group of someones who have similar gifts and interests and passions, and then pour into that person what God has poured into you. Be a mentor. I've had many excellent teachers over my years of education, but the one that influenced me the most was Dr. Gary Habermas. He's a professor now at Liberty University, has been for many years. And he was probably my most influential teacher, not just because he was very gifted at teaching and a brilliant scholar and author, but because he took time with me to carpool with me and some other students when we were at William Tyndale College in the early 80s. We had some great times in that carpool. He spent countless hours with me outside the classroom, discussing, debating, answering my questions. We'd go out to eat together. We'd play ping pong together. And now, even though he lives in a different state, in Virginia, and travels the world, I stay in contact with this man because he marked my life. One of the goals of my life is to be that sort of person to others, starting with my kids. Folks, this is what ministry is really all about. It's about pouring your best into other people. It's not about you. It's about you pouring what God has poured into you into others. Giving others what God has given you. Question, what are you doing for God today that will positively affect the next generation for God? You don't have to part the Red Sea. You don't have to be Moses. You just need to put Christ first in your life and then pour into others what he has poured into you. Third step to living a godly legacy on your outline. Number three is prioritize duty over dreams. Moses left a mind-boggling legacy. But he did it not by following his dreams, but by doing his duty. You know, when Moses was 40 years old, his dream was to somehow, by political or military means, liberate his people from slavery in Egypt. And he found out that wasn't for him. That wasn't going to happen. Instead, he ended up in the wilderness for 40 years tending sheep. When Moses was 80, his dream was just to finish out his life in obscurity as a shepherd in the wilderness. And yet God had other plans for him. When God called him at the burning bush, you may remember this when we studied it, he calls Moses to deliver the Israelites from slavery. Moses is 80 years old, and this is what he says in Exodus 4:13. He says, "Lord, please send someone else. I'm not your man. This is not my dream." Being a great leader was not Moses' dream, especially at this point, but it was his duty from God. Now at 120 years, Moses' life is ending. His dream is to walk into the promised land and to see it for himself. But as we learned a couple of weeks ago, Moses' disobedience in striking the rock twice with his staff, instead of speaking to the rock to produce water for the Israelites, you remember that? Well, that cost him his dream. God disciplined him for that. And yet, Moses has to, just like our kids, he has to ask one more time, one more time when he was about to die, Deuteronomy 3, beginning at verse 23. Listen what it says. It says, at that time, I pleaded with the Lord and said, O sovereign Lord, you have only begun to show your greatness and strength of your hand to me, your servant. Please let me cross the Jordan to see the wonderful land on the other side, the beautiful hill country and the Lebanon mountains. But the Lord was angry with me because of you. You can see he's still not quite over this when he's writing this. The Lord was angry with me because of you, and he would not listen to me. That's enough, he declared. Speak of it no more. Oh, man. And then it says, but go up to Pisgah Peak and look over the land in every direction. Take a good look, but you may not cross the Jordan River. Instead, commission Joshua and encourage and strengthen him, for he will lead the people across the Jordan. He will give them all the land you now see before you as their possession. So we stayed in the valley near Beth Peor. Here's a picture. Actually, it's the Pope John Paul, standing at that place or near to the place where Moses would have stood, Pisgah Peak on Mount Nebo, looking out over the promised land. But that's as close as he would get to it in his life. Great as Moses was, amazing as his legacy was, he never realized his dreams in his life. Now, what's the lesson for us? Don't have dreams? Don't follow your dreams? No, not necessarily. Sometimes God gives us our dreams, and he works through them to achieve great things. In Moses' case, it was his disobedience that cost him his dream. And that happens, folks. That happens in cases today. So what is the lesson? The lesson is prioritize your duty over your dreams. Maybe you had great dreams and expectations for your marriage, your career, your ministry, your education, dreams that for whatever reason were never fulfilled. Maybe you've experienced some twists and turns in your life, or maybe there's been some disobedience involved. And those things put that dream permanently out of reach. And because of that, you feel an emptiness and a sense of failure. The life of Moses teaches us to think differently. Dreams are all fine and good, folks, but never at the expense of God-given duty. Prioritize your duty over your dreams. God's verdict on the life of Moses is found in Hebrews chapter 3, and that verdict is not that Moses saw his dreams come true. Look at it. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 2, it says Moses was faithful in serving all of God's people. Faithful. He did his duty. Far better to be faithful to your spouse, to your family, to your ministry, to your church, to your God, than to achieve a dream of wild success in your career or whatever else at the expense of faithfulness. Don't do it. In fact, I guarantee you that if you forsake your duty to follow your dream, you will regret it in eternity. But if you forsake your dream to follow Jesus, and he is the ultimate duty in life, you will be glad for all eternity. Look at Mark chapter 8, beginning at verse 34. And calling the crowd to him with his disciples, Jesus said to them, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? Well, that just wraps it up right there. Follow your duty, even over your dreams. Did Moses ever achieve his dream of standing in the promised land? No, not before he died. But he did visit it after his death. 1,400 years later, Jesus took three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John, up onto a mountain during Jesus' ministry in the promised land. And here's what happened. Matthew chapter 17, verses 2 and 3. It says, as the men watched, that's his disciples, Jesus' appearance was transformed so that his face shone like the sun and his clothes became as white as light. Suddenly, Moses and Elijah appeared and began talking with Jesus. There he is. There he is in the promised land, Moses, standing in the presence of Jesus Christ with Elijah, experiencing the dream of his life in the promised land, better than he ever dreamed. Prioritize your duty, being faithful. And let God take care of your dreams, and He will give you better than what you ever dreamed. Which brings us back to our main idea. Live a godly legacy to leave for others. Can you name three people who have influenced your life in a godly way? Can you name three? Question. Are you one of those three for someone else? A godly influence, leaving a godly legacy. Be one. When I conducted my dad's funeral, 18 years ago today, not 28 years ago, 18 years ago, I requested that my cousin, who is a professional musician, that he would sing a well-known song by Dan Fogelberg, a song that many of you, I'm sure, have heard, leader of the band. My cousin, on that occasion, he adapted the words of the song to fit my dad's particular situation. But today, I've asked Keith Adams, to come and to share that song, the original version of that song, to close out our message. I'm going to ask the ushers if they would come forward, and we're going to hear the song in just a moment, for this morning's offering. And as we close up today, if God is working in your heart in such a way that you really sense that you need to talk with somebody, maybe you could use some prayer or spiritual counsel, come on down here after the service, right over here on the right side of the platform for you, the right side, and there will be some people here who can talk with you. All right? Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray that Stony Creek Church would just be bursting with people that are a godly legacy, who will be a godly legacy for others, for the next generation and for future generations. And Lord, in order for that to be, we need to be living that godly legacy today by doing these kinds of things, prioritizing you in our lives and pouring our lives into others and doing our duty, the things that you've called us to do, rather, or prioritizing that over our dreams. I pray, Father, that we would take this message to heart today. Bless this offering and use every penny for your honor and glory. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Only child alone and wild, a cabinet maker's son. His hands were meant for different work, but his heart was known to none. Left his home and went his own, a solitary way. And he gave to me a gift I know I never can repay. Quiet man of music, denied a simpler fate. Tried to be a soldier once, but his music wouldn't wait. Earned his love through discipline, a thundering velvet hand. His gentle means of sculpting souls took me years to understand. Leader of the band is tired and his eyes are growing old. But his blood runs through my instrument, song is in my soul. Life has been a poor attempt to imitate the man. I'm just a living legacy to the leader of the band. Brothers' lives were different, for they heard another call. One went to Chicago, and the other to St. Paul. And I'm in Colorado, when I'm not in some hotel. Living out this life I've come and gone to know so well. Leader of the band is tired and his eyes are growing old. But his blood runs through my instrument, his song is in my soul. Life has been a poor attempt to imitate the man. I'm just a living legacy to the leader of the band. Thank you for the music and your stories of the road. Thank you for the freedom when it came my time to go. Thank you for the kindness and the times when you got tough. Papa, I don't think I said I love you near enough. Leader of the band is tired and his eyes are growing old. But his blood runs through my instrument, his song is in my soul. Life has been a poor attempt to imitate the man. I'm just a living legacy to the leader of the band. I am a living legacy to the leader of the band.